Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shelby Friedman, and today, for the last time, we'll be learning Sefer Yeshayahu together as we tackle the final perek, Perek Samach Vav, chapter 66. This perek is the Haftarah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and it encapsulates so much of what we've discussed in Yeshayahu for the last 66 days. It opens up with rebuke, tochacha, for the people. But, as the Abarbanel argues, and we'll see it's true, we need to ask ourselves, is this rebuke, or is this actually just clothing, which deep down inside is an invitation to Am Yisrael, indeed an invitation to us, to engage with our Judaism and with Hashem in an authentic, rigorous, and invigorated manner. Pasuk Aleph opens up, Ko Omar Hashem, thus says Hashem, Hashomayim Kis'i, the heavens is my throne, the ha'aretz hadom raglai, and the earth is my footstool. In other words, Hashem is saying, I am so beyond the scope of this world. I don't need your little mini Beis HaMikdash to put me in. You can't put me into a tiny box. I don't need any of those things. Ezeh bayit asher tivnuli. What place could you possibly build for a God that is beyond the scope of anything material and physical? Ve'ezeh makom. Menuchasi, and which place could you make for me to rest in? The Radak explains that essentially what he's saying here is that I don't need your korbanos. It's not like you're feeding me like a pet every day with the korban in order to sustain me. I sustain me. And therefore the korbanos are not about sustaining Hashem, but they're about sustaining a relationship with Hashem. Rav Hirsch says, and this leads us back to the beginnings of the Sefer of Yeshayahu, where we spoke about how Rav Hirsch said that the sukkah was about people putting their Judaism out in a little box. And so too, Hashem says, you can't limit me to the narrow space of a temple and think that you're free to do whatever you please everywhere else. Because Hashem turns to the people and he reminds them, Ve'es kol ele yadi asasa, I made everything. All of the material world, anything you're going to use to build a Beis HaMikdash with, I made it. V'yu kol eile, Na'um Hashem. And all of these things came into being just as I desired for them to be. Va'al zeh ebit, and this is what I look at. And we're going to see what Hashem is talking about here, a couple of different interpretations. The pasuk reads, Va'al zeh ebit, this is what I look at. El ani v'nachei ruach, a person who is poor and brokenhearted. V'chared al dvarai, and someone who trembles at my word. The Radak reads this as Hashem saying, remember that I made heaven and earth and I'm so almighty and all-powerful. And you want to know what I care about? Humble, small human beings. I don't need korbanos. I don't want korbanos. But I care. I care about you and I know that you need the korbanos. And that's why I paid attention to you. The Malbim reads it a little bit differently. He said, I am so all-powerful and almighty, and what I'm looking for is authenticity. And remember, for the Malbim, a big theme in Yeshayahu is stop being a hypocrite. Stop being superficially frum, but internally everything is corrupt. I'm looking for authenticity. I want a person who is ani externally, who's superficially poor, and there is so much integrity that internally they're brokenhearted, and they express that as trembling before Hashem. The humility to be able to be real and sincere in every part of you, external and internal, is what the Malbim is going for in this pasuk. And Rav Hirsch's reading is truly unique and beautiful. What Hashem is saying is as follows. He says, Ve'es kol ele yadi asasa, I've made everything. I am all powerful. But humanity, you should know there is one place that I don't have dominion over and I don't have rule over. Va'al zeh abit means despite all of my power, there is one place where I'm looking to invite another being to participate with me in creation. What is that? Al ani v'nachir ruach v'chared al dvaro, a person who can be brokenhearted and yet still choose to tremble before the word of God. And for Rav Hirsch, this pasuk is talking about free choice. And again, as the entire perek is an invitation to people to buy in to Judaism, buy into a relationship to Hashem. Hashem says, I'm everything but you. Do you want to be close to me or not? Can you look at the brokenness in the world and feel brokenhearted and yet despite that still desire to have closeness with me? That's your decision. That's your choice. That I don't have rule over. Hashamayim kisi, the heaven I rule over, the earth I rule over. But you and your heart, your small, broken, shattered heart, and its relationship with God, that's up to you. The next two psukim, psukim Gimel and Dalet, deal with insincerity and hypocrisy, specifically in the context of the Beis HaMikdash and idol worship, and how Hashem is saying that he doesn't want them to offer korbanos if they're going to be insincere. And thus Pasuk Hei continues and says, Shimu Devar Hashem, listen to the word of Hashem, HaChareidim El Devaro, those who tremble for his words, just like we said in Pasuk Beis, those who are sincere in their relationship with Hashem, listen up. Amru Achechem, your brothers say, Sonechem, those who hate you, your brothers, the Jews who have rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who are worshipping idols or who have left authentic Judaism. And the Ibn Ezra says that the pain of them leaving is made even greater because they, at the end of the day, are Achechem. They are your brothers. What a shock when your brother turns to you and he hates you. Menedechem, and he sends you away, as we learned in the previous parak, parak 65. He says, I can't be close to you. Go away from you. Lema'an Shmi Yichbad Hashem. And he says, this brother, the sinner, for my name, God will be honored. Which the Radax understands to being his own arrogance and his own self-importanceness, that he says, when I give korbanos, then Hashem will be important. But the way Rav Hirsch reads it, in light of what Rav Hirsch was going through at the time of the Enlightenment, he said, those who reject the authentic expression of Judaism, the Torah, authentic mitzvah observance of Judaism, say, L'ma'an shmi yechabed Hashem. The only way to give honor to Hashem is to practice Judaism my way and not the real way, right? And Hashem says of this inauthentic Jew, V'nir'eh, let's see, b'simchatchem v'hem yavoshu. One day you will be rejoicing and they will feel shame. And thus, the perek continues by talking about what's going to happen at the end of days. At the end of days, when sincerity is truly rewarded, and we get to experience that relationship with God that we so achingly yearn for. And the mashal given is one of childbirth. And we know, because we spoke about a mashal of childbirth previously in the Sefer, in Perek Chafav 26. So here, a full 40 prakim later, we're going to revisit that childbirth mashal. And thus, Pasuk Zion tells us, B'terem tachil yalada, before she's even had labor, she's given birth. B'terem yavo chevela, V'himlata zachar, before she even has birth pains, she has given birth to a son. If this is the description of Geula, then it seems to describe a Geula which is going to be effortless. And Rashi says it will be effortless because all the other nations will do all the work. They will pick us up and they will send us home. And the Ibn Ezra says it will be quick. It'll be such a quick labor that she'll almost have no birth pains. But Rav Hirsch says, no, there will be birth pains, but we'll mistake them as false labor. He says, because what one took to be historical revolutions and evolutions were in truth the labor pains of Israel. And as we look through time and history, we'll say, oh, wow, that was a birth pain. Whereas in the here and now, we don't see it as such. And Hashem says, you want to know why you will birth Geula and redemption will come? He says, because Ha'ani Ashbir V'lo Olid, shall I, the one who brings on labor, not have birth? Yomar Hashem, says Hashem, Im ani hamolid va'atzarti, amar Elokayich. Shall I, who cause birth, shut up the womb and not allow a woman to give birth? Certainly not, says Hashem. I'm going to complete the process. I started the story. I wrote chapter one. Adam and Chava was my story, and Noach was my story, and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were my story. I was the one who brought the woman onto the birthing stool. The end will come and the end will be good. The story will be complete. And who is going to rejoice at those end moments when the baby is born? Pasuk Yud tells us, Simchu es Yerushalayim v'giluba kol ohaveha. Rejoice with Yerushalayim and be glad for her, all who love her. Sisu ita misos kol hamitablim aleha. Rejoice with her amongst all those who mourn over her. And famously, Chazal tell us, Kol hamitabel al Yerushalayim zocheh v'ro'eh b'simchata. Anyone who mourns over Yerushalayim will merit to rejoice over Yerushalayim. Ve'eno mitabel al Yerushalayim eno ro'eh b'simchata. But if we don't mourn for Jerusalem, we don't see its joy. And we've spoken about that in previous prakim. The way the Malbim reads this is that there's two different types of people. There are people who are mitablim, who mourn for Jerusalem. But much higher than that, there are people who are ohaveha, who love Yerushalayim. Mourning for Jerusalem is just a superficial thing. It's something I can do on the outside, and that person will only get to have sason, which is a superficial sign of joy. But, ohaveha, those who achingly, yearningly, lovingly adore Yerushalayim, those people will not just have sason, They'll have simcha, they'll have gila, they'll have a much higher joy when Yerushalayim is rebuilt. And now the psukim switch from a description of labor and childbirth and birthing, geula, to talking about nursing. Pasuk Yud Aleph says, "Lema'an tinku v'savatem mishod tanchumeha," so that you can suckle from the breasts and feel consolation from those breasts. "Lema'an tamotzu v'hitanagtem miziv kvoda," so that you can suckle and derive pleasure or joy from her glory. On a personal note, the mashal of this woman nursing her baby is so profound. Having spent the last couple of months on my maternity leave, learning Yeshayahu with you, in between feeds, preparing classes, recording classes, while nursing my own baby. And perhaps the mashal here, the Malbim points out, is twofold. Because on the one hand, we have the sphere, the satisfaction of us nursing from, in essence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the mother, and us deriving sustenance from Hashem himself. But much more than that, there's the second function of what the breast provides for the baby, which is the ta'anuk, the pleasure, or the relationship. That it's not just about creating sustenance, but it's also about developing a deep relationship. And Hashem says you should know that Yeshua, salvation at the end of day, is not just about saying, well, thank God the suffering's over. Thank God we don't have to be in exile anymore. But ultimately the entire purpose is us feeling closeness to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the mother nursing its baby is that vision of the mother endlessly wanting to bond, to connect, to be close to her child, to lovingly nourish her child. And that's what Hashem wants for us. Hashem says, I love you. I care about you. I have so much that I want to give you. And that really seems to be the running theme of this entire parak. And thus, in strange wording, Pasuk Yud Gimel tells us, Ke'ish asher imot tachan menu, just as a man is comforted by his mother, not a baby, but a man, a fully grown man, an ish, a man is comforted by his mother, Kein anochi anachemchem ubirushalayim tonuchamu, so too, I will comfort you and you will find comfort in Yerushalayim. As we said, Yeshayahu Perek Chaf Vav deals with the mashal of a woman giving birth. But there, that is us. We are the laboring woman giving birth to salvation. Here, the mother-child dynamic is different. Here, the mother is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we are the child. And so at the end of time, we're going to turn around and say, wow, we have spent all of Jewish history being the mother, being the parent, being the ish, being brave and being strong, and being independent and figuring it out all on our own. And when we get to the end of days, our Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, okay, now I'll be the mommy and you can be the child again. You can fall into my arms and I'll hold you and I'll comfort you. And you won't have to be strong and you won't have to be brave. All you'll have to be is comforted in the arms of your loving mother. And that's Pasuk Yod Dalet. Ure'isem v'sas libchem. You will see it and your heart will rejoice. Va'atzmosechem kedeshe tifrachena, and your limbs will flourish like grass, you will grow. V'nod'a yad Hashem, and you will know the hand of Hashem es avodav, with his servants. V'za'am es oivav, and his fury with against his enemies. And so the next couple psukim tell us about the fury that Hashem will have against his enemies. And many of the Mefarshim read it to be talking about not just a general discussion of the wicked, but the war of Gog Umagog, the final battle before the end of days. And those who survive that final battle will do what? Pasuk Yod Tes tells us, V'samti bahem os v'shilachti mahem pleitim. I will send a sign to all the far nations, and I will send those survivors who survived the war of Gog Umagog from all the other nations will go to all of their lands. They'll go to Tarshish and Pul and Lud, and all of their lands, and what will they say? V'hayim arachokim, and to the far out islands. Asher lo shamu es shim'i, who've never heard about Hashem. V'lo ra'u es kvodi, and have never seen Hashem's kavod. V'higinu es kvodi bagoyim, and they will tell about Hashem's kavod. And all of the world will know how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and how special his people is. And Pasuk Chav tells us, V'heviu es kol achechem mikol hagoyim. They will bring all of those nations who hear about Hashem's might, will bring all the Jews from all over back to Yerushalayim, which goes back to how Rashi reads the quickness of the Geula, because the other nations are participating. They'll put them on susim v'rechev, on horses and on chariots, and send them back al har kodshi Yerushalayim, to my mountain, to Yerushalayim, says Hashem. And then Pasuk Chaf Aleph rather ambiguously tells us, V'gam mehem, also from amongst them, Ekach lekohanim leleviim, Amar Hashem, I will take them as kohanim and leviim. And the way that the Malbim and the Radak read this is that for all, in those far-flung lands, there's going to be Jews. Jews who didn't even know they were Jewish. Jews who have lived their entire lives oblivious to what it means to be a Jew. And Hashem says, I will understand where they're coming from. I will forgive them, and I will pick even from amongst those assimilated Jews, Kohanim and Leviim, to serve me. The way Rav Hirsch reads it is that we will be the Kohanim, the Jewish people, and the other nations will be the Leviim. And just like the Levi is there to, as a supporting act to the Kohen, so to the other nations will be a supporting act to our role as the Kohanim in the world. Let's take our last few minutes together to look at the last two psukim of Sefer Yeshayahu. The second to the last pasuk is rather famous. In fact, it is seen as the source for maybe why we read this unit on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, because it says, V'haya midei chodesh b'chodesho, u'midei Shabbos b'shabbato. It makes reference to Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos. It says, for a new moon every month and every Shabbos that happens weekly, yavo kol basar lihishtachavot lefanai, all flesh will come to bow down before me, says Hashem. This clearly is talking about the time of Mashiach, as it seems, and what it seems to be saying is that the Malbim understands it, that each week and each month, new people will come from all of the lands to come and bow before me and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara reads this as talking about not the time of Mashiach, but the world to come. And from here it learns out that souls can only go into this place called Gehinnom, this purification process, for a maximum of a year. And Rav Hirsch very beautifully says that just as renewal occurs in this world weekly, every single Shabbos, and monthly, midei chodesh b'chodesho, every single month, ultimately there'll be the final moment of renewal, where there'll be a refreshing relationship that each person will have with Hashem. The final pasuk of Yeshayahu is very dark and very difficult to read. It describes how we will go out, v'yatz'u v'ra'u b'figrei ha'anashim ha'poshim bi. You'll go out and see all the corpses of those who have sinned against Hashem. Ki tola'atam lo tamut, because there'll be worms eating at them that will not die. V'isham lo tichben, their fire will not be burned out. V'hayu dera'on lo kol basar, and it will be something shocking or terrible for all flesh. This is a terrible way to end such an uplifting sefer, such a hopeful sefer. And in fact, that is perhaps why we don't end on this pasuk. We go back and read pasuk chaf gimel once again. V'haya midei chodesh b'chodesho, midei Shabbos b'shabbato. Renewal, refreshing. Yavo kol basar lishtachavot lifanai, amar Hashem. Everyone will serve Hashem. In fact, there are four different times when we go back to the penultimate pasuk, the pasuk before the last one, in order to avoid ending something miserably. And the four places are here, say for Yeshayahu, the whole of Treasar, Malachi, ends with a very dark pasuk, and we go back to the one before. Kinos, which is Echa, Sefer Echa, and the last one is Koheles. And what's so interesting is all four of these places, the last pasuk deals with the end of times, the end. Vaya sof kol davar akol nishma. At the end, when all has been said and done, in hindsight, and then the last pasuk ends miserably. And why is that? Rav Schwab tells us it's because that even though at the end of times they'll be good, there is no such thing as and they all lived happily ever after, because they won't all live happily ever after. All wickedness must be punished. All evil must be destroyed. And therefore, in truth, you can't get to a place where you unwrite tragedy and live in just the fantasy of and everybody was rewarded and everybody was happy. Rav Hirsch beautifully says that this final pasuk is the pasuk which sends Israel out in the path of history of the nations and opens its eye for an understanding of what soon they're going to witness, which is that everything is going to be very hard. As Rav Hirsch says, the road to Galus leads over ruins and dead bodies, over the dead bodies and ruins of human life trying to live in disobedience to God and to build up its own ideas of life on earth. But I think, and these are our closing words of Yeshayahu together, I think there's something else here. We started off and we keep repeating how the whole of Yeshayahu is nechama, kulo nechimte. It's all comfort. But at the end of the day, we must remind ourselves that when we look back at history, yes, we will see so many events that in the biggest scheme of things will make sense. And we'll say, oh, wow, those were the birth pains. Oh, wow, that was where Hashem was leading us. And that was Hashem's plan all along. And yes, the end will be good. But there is something actually comforting to acknowledging that at the end of time, when we look back at tragedy, it will also be tragic. And that no matter how much Jewish history will make sense one day, when we look back at those dark moments, they will still feel dark and they will still be painful and they will still be difficult. And nothing can rewrite history to make the sad parts uplifting. And we're not just going for mad inspiration and upliftment. We're also going for the acceptance of tragedy and holding space for that tragedy. And that, perhaps, is the greatest comfort of them all. It has been a joy. It has been a privilege. Thank you for learning with me today and for the last 66 days. L'Rafua Shalema Yonina Sima Bas Daphne Hinda, Jennifer Hayekara Shalano, Ilu Pitzuei Tzahal, Achenu Hayekarim, B'toch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael, Nina V'Chaim Shenka.